right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight. The Colts have signed 6 of their 8 draft picks and a slew of undrafted free agents. Indiana baseball with a big weekend up at a formerly first place Minnesota Gophers. Home up in Minneapolis, and Indiana's claimed first place in the Big Ten right now. But we'll start tonight with the Indiana Pacers, and the news we didn't know for sure when we last left you on Wednesday night was what the Pacers would do with their coach in particular, Frank Vogel. His contract was up, and it was a question of whether, of course, he would be signed to a new contract or let go. And Larry Bird met with the media last Thursday and announced that he was quite sad about it, but went ahead and did it anyways. He's not going to renew. Frank Vogel talked about the idea that players lose track of the voice, don't listen to the voice quite the same way that maybe they did in the beginning, and they need to make a change. And Glass, it was odd to me. I kind of expected at some point he would bring this up, but he certainly didn't seem to be real thrilled about doing it. It makes you wonder why you do it if you don't like it, if you like the guy as much as he says he does. It's just really confusing to me.
Well, if you like the guy and maybe not the way his coaching style is, you can have it both ways. There are some people that you've worked with in your life that say, wow, that's a great, but they just don't get what I'm trying
guy.
To do.
Don't come anywhere near me.
Well, it's not, don't come anywhere near my work. Yeah, that's a different part, because when we talked last Wednesday, we had talked about the multiple levels that we've seen over the last 6 years, the really good, the really bad, and the really underachieving. And when you go through all three of those, this wasn't a two seed, one seed, two seed, three seed, two seed, where you just didn't get over. This one, like Portland with Clyde Drexler and Kersey and those guys.
Right.
This one, like Karl Malone and Stockton's Jazz, or any team Charles Barkley or Patrick Ewing were on that never won anything. This wasn't that he couldn't put the pieces together year in and year out, in the sense that they got so close and they need someone better to get them over the hump. There were some telling things in this press conference, but I do think Bird really liked the guy, and I don't think there's anything different with that. There's, you know, if you're in a business somewhere and a guy doesn't show up 3 days in a row, well, he might do a great job when he's there, but if he's not there, he's not helping you.
Right.
And he's friendly and he's nice to everybody else, but that's not what it is. And a couple of things that just stuck out to me that jumped off the press conference when I was listening to it last Thursday was when Bird got into detail about the philosophy of how the season went along. And when he talked about going big versus being small, I would have stuck with it longer. He didn't. It's his team. I'm not going to tell him during the season what he needs to do and not do.
Right.
He needs to win games.
He acknowledged he needed to win games and made an adjustment to do that.
He didn't like the inconsistency that brought. He went through some of the seasonal ups and downs about what was happening, what was not happening, and he kind of wrapped it up with saying, I would have given that small lineup a longer time to gel with Turner coming back, but Frank had a different idea. I'm paraphrasing here, and it just sounded like it was a philosophical difference moving forward, because obviously Bird brought in players to fit a style he thought was going to happen, style that they had talked about before the season started, and when he came out and said, hey, I would have given it more time, I wouldn't have KO'd it that quickly, I think that was the major philosophical difference that happened. And with Turner being late to the party, like he mentioned, we all saw that, and you know, Bird told you in the rookie league he was going to tear everything up. He saw that coming, and he was disappointed that Turner didn't slide into that system as opposed to, and I'm connecting some dots here, this isn't exactly what Bird said, but it sounds like he wanted that system more for Turner's benefit and George's. But Frank's job is to win games. He saw it fit to win games the way he could with the lineup he had. We mentioned it last week in detail about all the guys that did come in and didn't perform who were given money. And when that doesn't happen, well, you have to ask questions. You have to ask tough questions. And I thought Bird, another interesting thing that jumped out here or caught my attention was the playoffs don't start till the semis or the finals.
Yeah.
He said, you want to get excited about the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Yeah,
that's not the playoffs to me.
Sure.
He said, this is where we expect to be. We expect to be in this echelon of it. He thinks he's got the pieces to do so. He thinks the next coach, he thinks his phone's going to be ringing off the hook with Paul George and Miles Turner, just like we thought last week. That's not going to be a per se hard job to fill. But I just thought it was interesting because He talked about his philosophy, and when he was asked about assistant coaches, he goes, I don't talk to assistants during the season. That's not my job. That's Frank's job. I don't talk to Frank really that much during the season because of his job. I didn't want the front office messing with me when I was in Boston.
Right. That
I
was
didn't
the
want Red.
Part.
Red didn't want. Red never asked for my opinion.
That was
he didn't want to hear it.
The interesting part
That's
is to hear him
style.
Talk about that. And you, I think, look, I respect that. I find it a little hard to believe, frankly, over the course of 82 games or whatever it is that they're not talking all that much, like he says. But I at least respect.
Talking,
the idea.
But I think they're not talking about, hey, tonight let's try this.
Right.
Hey,
he's not
this
coaching,
road trip,
he's not helping coach
this
the
road
team
trip,
on a
let's
daily
try
basis.
A rotation of this, right, or let's get right. these guys into the rotation more. I think it's, hey, what do you need? Do we right. need to go out and find Ty Lawson? Do we need to go out? Right. Is Turner being hurting you? Why aren't you playing
stuff.
Budinger? Do we need to get rid of him? Is he bad in the locker room? I think that's the things they talk about, but not day-to-day basketball operations, yeah. And I think there's a little bit of a difference in all of that.
Well, and the other thing here, too, and you mentioned the Miles Turner situation. I mean, that's an injury situation. We talked about a couple of the players, and that's a front office situation. But I do think you have to ask the question as to whether Frank is having trouble getting some of these guys integrated in, because, again, you didn't sign Monta Ellis to make him a defensive two guard. You didn't. That's not what he does. If you do that, you're fitting the square peg into the round hole.
You can find somebody for half the price to be a defensive
exactly
two guard
right.
in the league.
And you've already got one in George Hill, really. I mean, that's the way
well, here, is. Here's one of the other quotes from Bird. I'm gonna read this one verbatim because I think this one sheds some light. The question was, are you looking for a coach who will play a certain way? Or are you looking for a certain style of play? And I'm going to read, this is exactly what Bird said. Well, you guys know that I like to score more points than we're scoring. This year, our offensive efficiency rating is about the same as it was last year, 23rd this year, 24th last year. Mm-hmm. We went from 27th to 12th in fast break points, and I think that's because we got more steals, and Monte was out there leading the break. But, yeah, I'd like to score more points. Hopefully we can do that. Our defense with Dan Burke, who's been there forever,
right,
has been great like it has every year.
Yeah.
Stop. Stop. I'll read the rest of it, but that's not in bold,
right,
but it stands out in bold. Not yeah. Frank Vogel's
not
defense.
Frank Vogel, no,
not
exactly.
his theory right. on putting this together or trusting Dan with the defense. It's Dan Burke's defense.
Right.
Very interesting. Obviously, we can do a little bit more with high pick and rolls, probably a little bit better job, but it's all about scoring points. If your defense is better, you don't have to score as many, but you'd like to score as many as you possibly can, and you have to put the players in the right position to do that.
Yep.
That, to me, was the paragraph of answers to the questions of people are wondering why. He told you. He doesn't like a plotting style that doesn't get points.
Right.
And then he went on to talk about, you know, some nights we hit all these threes and beat teams we should beat. And then sometimes we don't make these threes and don't beat teams we shouldn't beat. He goes, that inconsistency wasn't there.
Let me ask.
Was there, sadly.
Let me ask about the elephant in the room, which is, of course, exciting to have because it's Paul George. Paul George, all the talk in the offseason with Larry Bird was he's going to play the four and he's going to be fast and he's going to love it. It was Bird's comment at the time. He's actually going to love it is what he said going into the season. Paul George not only didn't love it before the season, he didn't love it during the season and got moved out of there. Is Paul George miscast somehow in this? Are we trying to fit him into an area that he shouldn't be fit into or he's not comfortable with?
It's
not that big a deal if it's Jan Mahimi, but this is Paul George we're talking about, top five, top ten player.
If they expect to win more games and score more points, George is going to have to provide a lot of that with
right.
the roster they have right now, especially the way the guys played on that team. But I think if you're looking at what's best for Paul George, I mean, you could start Paul George at center, quote-unquote,
mm-hmm.
and – he's going to take guys out on the floor in that offensive matchup, and who's going to guard him out there?
Right.
So you find ways to move it around. You find ways to get him in situations that are more advantageous to him. And I don't think that we really had that answer because right after the new year started, that system was abandoned.
Right.
You didn't play enough games with it where you could look back and say.
But the point there is he really made waves about not wanting to do it.
I understand that.
I mean, audible in the press several times talking about not wanting to play that position. And that's clear defiance to the guy who's running the organization. Now, they might not have that much tension when it all comes down to it, and he's just saying that. That's fine, too. But he made a point of it several times to say he didn't want to play that way.
Yep. And if Paul George, with the roster that's around him, wants to be out of the first round in the playoffs or
well,
sneaking
sure.
in the back door. Well, my whole point is they kind of tried it his way. It
yeah.
got his coach not renewed.
He got his coach fired and out in the first round.
And no, out in the first round because the pieces that were brought in to run an up-tempo system, as we've detailed 100 times in the last 3 weeks on this program, didn't work.
Right.
Plain and simple, they didn't get the average career averages from those guys they were hoping to get. They had injury problems. They had bad performances when the money was on the line. Those are. I don't think Paul George wants that down the road. So the new voice is going to be interesting, whoever that new voice is going to be. Larry Bird said, there is no timeline on that. I do not have a list of candidates. I expect my phone to be ringing. I'm going to go through a process and figure out who that is. And if it's the first guy I talk to who knocks me off my feet, I'm going to hire him. And away we're going to go. But what the Pacers can't do, they can't get it wrong because they don't have enough pieces and they don't have enough cash to get it right.
And they've got a lot spent for the next couple of years in just a handful of players. So, as you said, they got to make it work. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming note, we got Reds baseball coming up tonight right after the show, 7 o'clock. Pittsburgh is in town tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday, and we'll have them all for you here on WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in John.
Hello, John.
What's happening, John?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Happy, happy Monday, or as we like to call here, the first day of summer in Bloomington after everyone graduates on the weekend.
There you go. First of all, I don't have any emotional attachment to Frank Vogel. I think he did a really good job. But the thing with Larry Bird that drives me nuts more than anything is his big deal seems to be the coaches get tuned out after 3 years or 5 years. That is that varies depending on what press conference he's having. But why have so many guys lasted longer than that? Casey Jones, his own coach, lasted, what, 7 or 8 years with the Celtics. Pat Riley's done it twice with people. Jerry Sloan's done it. Greg Popovich does it.
Because you
and, Larry Bird did not say some coaches get tuned out. He basically made it sound like it's just one of those things that's going to happen. And why do these other guys end up staying so long and being so successful?
I think Casey Jones had something that was a little bit different in Boston. That was championships in NBA Finals.
Yeah. And the weird part about it for me to the Pacers is there's only two guys that have been here for the whole Frank Vogel time. And did it look like Paul George and George Hill were tuning him out? I mean,
no.
Doesn't to me.
No, I only went to 4 games this year. I usually go to more, but I don't think the problem was the coach being ignored. I think if you're going to play small ball, you've got to make shots. And they had three guys, Monta Ellis, C.J. Miles, and Ronnie Stuckey, that did not make shots consistently. The last two guys, basically, to me, were stealing their money because they had terrible years.
Absolutely.
And that's not a Frank Vogel thing. He didn't sign him. I mean, there's only so much coaching you can do. The guy's got to put the ball in the basket.
Well, the other part is, though, that Frank Vogel needs to motivate his players to get the ball in the basket, whether it's shooting after work, getting your head squared on right, getting eating better, training better, doing something better. He's entirely responsible for those players.
No question.
It is. And the other part of that is that Frank Vogel and the guys that have been brought in with Frank Vogel, you haven't seen those bust-out performances or guys where you said, wow. You say, man, that's not a bad deal, but you haven't seen anybody bust it and get after it.
Let
either.
Me ask you guys a question
Jordan
here, too.
Jordan Hill, Chase Budinger, you can just keep going.
3 years of Solomon Hill, it took until the second half of the third season to get anything out of him. Is it Frank Vogel's responsibility to develop him into an NBA player while he's coaching his NBA team on the floor all the time, or is that an organizational thing that's somebody else's main responsibility?
I think the really good organizations, that works itself out. It's not a matter of the coach doing it.
No, but you can't fire all the players, right? So you got to change
exactly
the voice.
Right.
You got to change
the voice. That. But I look at this team and say, what – should they have been better? I can't say they should have been because of guys that had bad years. That's not been that is not Vogel's fault. Monta Ellis getting $12 million a year and playing like he did. That's a Monta Ellis problem. He's been in the league long enough. If he's not motivated now, you shouldn't have signed him.
We talked about this last Wednesday, and I just want to bring it up because I think it's important. Miles and Ellis have been in the league 10 years. Ten.
Right.
These aren't the first guys after their first big contract, fat and sassy. These guys should figure out survival of the fittest. They know how it should work, and they did not contribute to their level.
They were brought in to give you the punch off the bench that you see all the good, really good teams having. It's veterans that come in off the bench and give you those punches, and they didn't give you any punches.
Jan Mahimi scored more points in a game than Monta Ellis did in the 7-game playoff series. That doesn't fly for any of it. So when you have that and you know Ellis is signed and ready to go, I think that the problem with Vogel is that he didn't do what Bird wanted to. He wanted to, Bird wanted to play small, wanted to score more points, and Vogel decided that I'm going to make sure we have a winning record and make sure that we try to find our way into the playoffs.
And Bird actually made the comment that Frank said to him, I'm more comfortable coaching this other style.
Yeah, the big bulky packages, so to speak.
Well, do you guys, I'll ask you a question, guys. Do you guys think this team, as it's presently constituted this last year, was capable of playing small ball and getting into the playoffs?
Well, it had to be better shooting the ball, like you said, doesn't it? I mean,
well, they did not shoot the ball well, and that's the first thing you had to do if you're going to play small ball.
But did they have bad shooters, or did they bring in good shooters that had bad years?
Right.
I mean, that's a fundamental question. You've got guys out there that you paid some good money to that you expected to put the ball in the basket a little bit more often. Now, again, I'll point out there's a couple bad choices that they got rid of in the middle of the season, like a Chase Buttinger or stuck Jordan Hill on the bench eventually. But my whole question is, Paul George was up in arms during the course of the season and before the season, almost immediately after Larry Bird started saying how much he would love playing the four position. Paul George is having none of it.
And I think that's justifiable, too. He's not a four. He's
but that's a problem. Your main player, your big star, one of the top 10 guys in the league, isn't buying what you're selling from the front office. You know, is that a problem going forward? They got to get on the same page first. Because if Bird's going to bring in a guy that's going to get up and down the court and do what he wants him to do, Paul George is going to have to make a concession or vice versa. And it doesn't sound like Larry wants to make a concession. He's in charge.
I'll give you his thoughts. He said the banging with the other guys every day would take a lot out of him, and he preferred to play the threes, talking about George.
Right.
I don't blame Paul George on that.
He came to me and said, look, I feel more comfortable playing with two bigs than small, and I said, okay.
Uh-huh. If you have a guy that's an elite three, why do you want to put him in another position simply because you want to change because Golden State's having a lot of success with a team that's totally different than the team you've got?
Find a four that does what you want. I mean, if that's sit out in the three-point line, then find that guy.
You do. His name's Miles Turner.
Well,
that's the good news, because moving forward, you do have the pieces put together. You can stay big with if you want to re-sign Mahimi, great. You can probably find someone a little younger and a little bit – perhaps more offensively sharper if you want to go big at times.
But I suppose mention that up front.
They need some effort guys on that team, especially up front. So, I mean, I think they'll re-sign him. He's a guy you can use. I mean, he's not a end-all, be-all, but he's a good player.
I don't think when the Pacers put this all together this year, this was going to be a 50-win team, 55-win team. Bird wanted it to be. I get all that.
Why do they act like it should have been that way when you're firing a coach that got you in the playoffs and took you to Game 7 against a team with a 2 seed?
Yeah, and if Solomon Hill doesn't play in that series goes about 5 games and not 7 games. So you get a guy that was doing nothing to do something in Mahimi and Hill, and they're both free agents. And then you brought in a guy in Jordan Hill who played 73 games and gave you nothing the final five weeks of the season. Yeah. You get Rodney Stuckey. And we can just go down the list. So when all of that happens, John, I don't think it's just as cut and dry. I don't think Vogel did a good job because there's too many things that happened poorly. There wasn't enough good things. Remember, this team went to Toronto in a must-win game, five games left to go in the season, and Toronto's starters didn't play. They got destroyed there. Yeah. I know that didn't help anything. They did a nice job beating Brooklyn down the stretch, Brooklyn twice, the Knicks, Milwaukee. I mean, those are teams. Yeah, the Pistons.
They should,
You got to beat those teams, and that's not what it is. But I don't think that. I think you get too much credit for Hill and Mahimi, but not enough blame for what happened to Jordan Hill, Buttinger, Monte Ellis, Rodney Stuckey, C.J. Miles. There's too many layers to all this, so I don't think keeping it would have fixed anything next year. Because what message would that have sent? That it was okay to get beaten seven. It was okay to we didn't know what we were going to do, or you hope it's all going to happen. I mean, 5.5 years is a good time. Again, he liked Vogel. There's no question about it. But I don't think changing coaches in the NBA is a huge deal. Because remember, when Vogel came, he had no coaching experience. Bird found him, pulled him off the bench, and now he's been here for 5.5 years, and we're upset he's leaving. Bird's found one of these guys before. I think he can do it again.
How many years does a GM with Larry Bird's history get in an organization before his voice is getting old? Because let's remember, 2 years ago, he got rid of half the team and half the stars to remold this as younger. And I think we all agree it probably needed to get younger and a little faster from Roy Hibbert and David West. But it's not,
their oldest guys right now are 31.
In 2 years, it's not where he wants it. Is that unrealistic? Well, he seemed to think it ought to be better already.
One year that was Paul George's broken leg.
Understood,
too,
so and that's fine.
That's a huge
No, huge I don't have any problem with year one. I mean, there was a lot of turnover anyways. To think they were going to be great anyways, even with Paul George, is probably a little foolish. But this year, as you said, he seemed to think it was a 50-win team.
Well, Larry Bird wants to hold himself to the same standard he's holding his coach. And like I said, I don't have anything. I mean, Frank Vogel is not Greg Popovich or Pat Riley or anything like that. But I looked at this team and said, could this team do better than they did? And I just don't see it unless you have guys that are playing consistently better than they played all year. I mean, they in the playoffs, Stuckey and C.J. Miles did what they basically did all year, and so did Monta Ellis. They underachieved.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, well, that's a coach. Well, if you bring in somebody, I hope you have a guy that a name, and it's not going to be Brad Stevens. So, you know, so forget that. So that's going to do a better job than Vogel did. And I with this team, Bird should be held to the same standard he told his coaches. That's basically what I'm saying.
I don't think that's wrong. And if Bird makes a change, like he brought in Vogel, and all of a sudden the team takes off again, then you got to give Bird credit.
That's why this coaching search is crucial, because it's going to be his vision.
Right.
It's going to be a team he's been putting back together, and who knows what it'll look like exactly. It's got to get right.
And Bird pulled Vogel off Jim O'Brien's bench and gave him the rest of the season, said, mm-hmm. here you go, and then signed him up to a 5-year contract after that. So he can recognize it. And, again, when things don't work out, I don't know if the 5-year plan or whatever Bird has for that's his philosophy, no problem. Just like Vogel's philosophy was playing two big guys, he was more comfortable doing that for Paul George and everybody else. And we'll see which one works in the end.
Well, Vogel will be fine. He'll get another.
Sure,
NBA job.
Everybody in the NBA does. Coach, if you don't get fired in the NBA, no, you're fine.
He's a good coach.
You got no problems right. getting a job in the NBA.
Right, and there are plenty of good coaches in the NBA. The Pacers just need, I think, better talent than they've got right now, and Bird should be held to the same standard that he's holding his coach.
Well, and clearly they need somebody to get through the old veterans that they signed, because these guys are guys you signed to be productive for you, and they weren't productive enough for you.
And the million-dollar question that you'd like to hear from those veterans is, was the system holding you back? Did
right.
you have a bad year? Were you hurt? Did you not tell us about it? I don't know the answer to that.
Right.
But what I do know is there will be no excuse for those veterans next year.
Yeah.
When a new guy and a new voice comes in, because you better get in shape to play for the new coach. You better
mm-hmm. –
if you show up and collect your check, who's expiring next year? Is Miles expiring?
After
no.
next year?
George Hill's the only one that's
George Hill's the only
yeah,
one that's
George
expiring.
George Hill's after next year. That's correct.
So you can break it up one more time and start over with Miles Turner and Paul George, and I think you've got a fantastic spine mm-hmm. for that team. There's no doubt about it. I don't think Ellis – Hill,
Ellis and George
Stuckey,
have 3 more years.
Miles.
Stuckey and Miles have 2 more years.
Ellis you keep because he's been a proven scorer, John, but if he goes out and gets you 12 more points, 13 more points next year under a new leadership, new voice, new whatever.
Which would be great off the bench, but that's not
right.
why you brought him in for 12
That's
million.
Stealing money for yeah. Monta Ellis.
Exactly.
But you're assuming that Larry Bird can put together back-to-back good drafts as the guy that drafted Miles Plumlee. You know,
sure.
I mean,
and Tyler Hansborough.
Yeah,
we can go through them all.
And Brandon Rush, and yeah,
traded up for James White.
He's had a lot of hits.
Sean Williams. I mean, we can go through them all. He's had some really big ones. But in the NBA, you get two big ones right, you can be okay. You
mm-hmm.
get Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant right, you could be okay. You got Miles Turner and Paul George, it looks to be right. That's pretty good, because those are guys you can build with pieces around, with guys that you can hope that can show up in the big situations. And that's what's encouraging about the Pacers, because George has just turned 25 years of age. Miles Turner just turned, what, 19 or 20? I can't remember.
20.
Okay. He turned 20 in March.
Yeah, and so that's five more, four more, three more.
I mean, the two guys are very young, no question. That's why you need the veterans to fire around them.
And you might need a veteran voice to do so, because you've tried the Vogel angle,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying it didn't work. I'm not saying it's going to work. I don't know if you're going to be able to beat LeBron in the next couple of years anyhow.
Right,
but what you are is, John, you are in Paul George's prime, or starting to tick his prime.
Getting there,
for 5 years,
right.
You have Paul George for, well, the next 3 under contract.
Yes.
And then one more big one if you want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably take you from 29 to 34,
right.
somewhere in there. So you're going to get 5 to 6 really good years from Paul George. Did you want to try one more year of 13, win 6 in a row, lose 5 in a row, win, sneak in the back door of the playoffs and play somebody real good in the first round? Or do you want to kind of blow it up and move forward? And I think Bird told you he kind of wants to blow it up and move it forward, because you've got to start firing. And that's why he thinks he can win now with Turner and George. And the pieces that are there, as you mentioned, I think accurately, if all 3 of those guys falter down the stretch again next year, well, the Pacers have bigger problems than that, and then you can start pointing fingers at Bird.
Yes. Well, here's something to dream about, and I'll let you go. You gotta go to
the lottery? Were you in Trenton?
The team drafted Kawhi Leonard and traded him for George
Yeah, Hill. That was all negotiated before the draft
Yes,
started.
I know that, but they still had a chance to draft Kawhi Leonard.
They could have said, no, we don't want that deal.
Otherwise, that mm-hmm. tells you something else about Larry Bird I don't like. Because
he's had a number of draft picks that aren't very good.
Yeah, and it just stands out there, George Hill. Or Kawhi Leonard, just say that three times in a row.
Right.
You know, see if you can't get.
But that was that's who the Pacers were told to pick.
I'm not sure. If Kawhi Leonard drafted him and kept and say we don't want George Hill.
And George Hill was being brought in as a complimentary piece to a veteran team that was bordering on the NBA Finals too. So different needs at different times. But look, if you look back at Larry Bird's draft picks again, there's a lot of bad ones. There are. The track record is not phenomenal.
A lot of teams have a lot of bad draft.
Give him Paul George. Give him Miles Turner, no question. But there's a lot that are not very good.
All right, there you go, guys.
Thanks,
good job, John.
We appreciate the call.
You listening. Good stuff there.
We do
always.
Have to take a break. No idea at this point how long it'll take to find a coach, but Larry is not concerned about the pool available to him. So,
no, and he shouldn't be either because he's
we'll
right.
We'll see what happens.
It's a good city. It's got good schools and good doctors, like everything he said.
One of the top 10 picks or players in the league. And a very good-looking 20-year-old, so it can be a young team. It also could use some more young players to go along with them at this point in time if the veterans don't fire. Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Quick programming notes for you. We got Reds baseball tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday, 7 o'clock all three nights. So right after the show, Pittsburgh is in town. We'll pick it back up on Friday as the Reds head to Philadelphia Friday and Saturday night, also 7 o'clock. Tomorrow night, Joe Smith Sports Talk live from Yogi's at the corner of 10th and Indiana at 6 o'clock. He will have Mick Hammett and the Edgewood Softball Mustangs. And we'll also have a conversation with IU baseball coach Chris Lemonis. That is taped, but Chris will be talking with Joe. And that's all tomorrow night, and we'll be back, of course, Wednesday night. 333-2665 is a phone number. NBA playoffs well underway at this point, and as the big three in Cleveland at this point are healthy and playing together and starting to play well, they have swept now two straight series as they took out the Hawks yesterday in the closest game of the series. They had pretty much made mincemeat of them in the first three, but won it on the road last night. So that's two straight sweeps for the Cavs, playing very well with Irving and Kevin Love alongside LeBron James. Raptors in the Heat. Toronto is actually up 2-1 now, taking game three in Miami. And I don't know, it's hard to get excited about this Miami team, just like it's hard to get excited about this Toronto team that we watch play the Pacers. I don't see where all the there is there. And now Valanciunas is out for the rest of at least this series, I believe.
And that's not going to help anybody. You saw how he's tormented most folks throughout that. He's a big galoot and big player, but what you've seen is the Toronto backcourt took him seven games to get woken up, and now they're starting to play like the Toronto backcourt, and the Heat can send the Christmas cards to the Pacers for waking them up out of their slumber, mm-hmm. not letting them walk through the first part of the NBA playoffs. But Cleveland's a story, Dave. The Cavaliers have had 5 of 8 games come down to, late in the fourth quarter, and they've won all of them. They haven't lost. Yep. They're 8-0. And good teams know they do, they put their feet up. What do I mean by that? They go sweep and sit back for 7 or 8 days and wait. Remember, game one, a little rocky with Atlanta, mm-hmm. found a way back, found a way to win it. Why? Well, they were off and Atlanta was playing game six.
And suddenly now they're hitting every three-pointer they
which is
also.
Unbelievable, which it won't last, but what it did is it bought them a ticket to the next round, mm-hmm. and it's bought them the extra rest, and it's bought them the recoup time while Toronto and Miami slug it out. Why couldn't that series go seven? If Toronto went to seven with the Pacers, how do you see the Raptors closing out, or not closing out, but taking a 3-1 lead back? Sure, it can happen, don't get me wrong. But what you've seen from everybody in this series is Toronto starting to play like Toronto that got a number two seed. And that's what was important, because without that backcourt, they weren't going to be very good. And they figured it out how to get the ball in the basket. And now without Valanciunas, well, now you got a problem, right?
Yeah.
That kind of your lane used to be wide open. Sure, no sweat. But Lowry gets 33 in game three. I don't have the boxes here in front of me. He did it on 19 shots. That was the most impressive part. Wade had 38 in the losing effort. So you've got a backcourt battle going on. I can never see his name. DeRozan. Is that it?
DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan.
Wrong emphasis on the wrong
DeMar
syllable.
DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan.
Supposedly.
Took me 3 weeks to get Valanciunas, and now he's hurt. Son of a gun.
That's how that works.
But the backcourts are going to be the key in this game. That's the deal. And when you've got two versus one, Dragic is a nice player, no doubt about it. He's not been in very many money situations on that. So Dwayne Wade's got to haul up 38 the other night. That tells you what you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And with two guys being able to put it up, a little bit younger, not saying Dwayne's old, but
he needs some help.
He definitely needs some help.
Looking out west, the Warriors without Steph Curry for a while now, they are up 2-1 on Portland, losing game three in Portland, a big game by Damian Lillard.
Well, what did it take,
as you would expect.
What did it take to beat the Warriors? Getting 40-something from your best player.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
That's all
you got to do to beat the Warriors.
And you know, Golden State's issue right now is getting some of that spotty help for their main scorers. Draymond Green has picked it up now that Curry's been out. And he had 37 last night. Klay Thompson had 35, but the rest of the team really not even putting up much in the way of shots. Look, they're still arguably the best team in the West. The Spurs and Oklahoma City tied 2-2. Either one of them would give them a run without Steph Curry.
Curry is probably
they're talking about him coming back pretty soon.
He's a game time decision tonight, so we'll see if that's just a smokescreen or if that is something they're going to look at. They're not going to put him out there if there's any question whether he can play or not. Why would you? It's a knee.
You're up 2-1.
You're not going to try to damage it. It's not like a turned ankle where it just hurts a lot. It's whether you go out there and that bothers you, which I don't think would be very smart. And Golden State seems to do a lot of smart things and not a lot of dumb things. But what Golden State has lost is the rotation's out of whack. And when they move the ball as well as they do, they don't have problems to a degree. But they don't have the pop off the bench because now Livingston has to start.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the guy that was the catalyst along with Iguodala on the second team.
Right.
Get everybody in there fired up. Now he's got to start, so now they're trying to get you revved up somewhere else. So don't be surprised again if Klay Thompson and Draymond Green drive the bus. That's what they have to do. There's no doubt about it. You're not going to throw the ball into Bogut 60 times and hope he beats you. You know, Harrison Barnes knocks down some shots. Iguodala knocks down some shots. Livingston, again, when they get balanced, they're tough. But the big guys got to eat because when those guys get going, they get them in bunches.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, it feels like gets a wind knocked out of you. You look up and you're down 17.
Well, you're 72 out of their two guys, but they need a little bit of help. Spurs and Thunder, as we mentioned, tied 2-2 after the Thunder took over the fourth quarter.
Great game
last night.
Kevin Durant took over the fourth quarter last night.
Statistical oddity, though. Tim Duncan, I believe I heard, his first time he's ever been held scoreless in his career.
Shotless.
Shotless. Having all that, too.
No shots.
Did I hear four fouls in the first quarter? I believe that's
he still didn't find a way to get a shot off, which doesn't make any sense. That's not a tip-in.
And it shows you the changing of the guard there in San Antonio in that Tim Duncan can go without even shooting the ball. And while they lose the game, they get plenty of production. It is Kawhi Leonard's team. It is LaMarcus Aldridge's team. Certainly Tony Parker had a great game last night, in a loss. This one's going seven, and it's a fantastic series to watch.
Well, when the Spurs play very well, the Spurs can hurt you, but when they play Duncan and Danny Green 40 minutes and get 0 points, they're not going to beat anybody.
Yeah.
Why? Same thing. When they share the basketball, they're very hard to guard at Kreitz, driving lanes, everything else. Boris Diaw played great last night. Ginobili only gave you 9 in 22 minutes. That's unlike Ginobili. But the Spurs at home are, their overall record's 67-15. They're 27-14 away.
Hmm.
So I'm guessing at home
they're pretty good.
And one. So that's going to be the biggest part, why they have home court advantage. So if the series goes according to Hoyle, if it doesn't, I think it goes six. Because, again, how did the Thunder win? It took Kevin Durant making every shot in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Westbrook had a terrible night, but he did a ton of assists. That's what it was. That was great. But, again, when you have to have one guy load up and have a quarter like he did, I don't even know how many Durant had in the fourth quarter. All I know is every time he shot, it went in. It was unbelievable to watch. You just every time he looked up, there's his hand in his face, boom, bucket, swish, no problem. Lit him up 41, ties his career playoff high, and it was all Durant in the fourth quarter. And you can't beat teams. There are nights it's not going to go in, and Westbrook has already shown you once in the series. He got out of control, shot it 300 times in a loss, and you just start wondering, when are they going to figure it out? But at least it is tight, but I would expect with Game 5 coming up in is this is 2-2, right?
Yep.
Game five in San Antonio. It's hard to look at a team that has one home loss and say, here's why they're going to get beat at home. How they're going to get beat. It's simple. Russell Westbrook has 47 and Durant has 43.
Yeah.
That's the way San Antonio is going to lose at home. But when you put that into the realm of possibilities, it's probably not going to happen.
No,
it's
exactly.
not. But it's fun to watch because that is some high-level offense. Yeah. San Antonio moves the ball just as well as Golden State does.
Yep.
Oklahoma loves to run, so if you liked that, if you like the ballet and athleticism of the NBA game, that is a fun series to watch.
It's been entertaining. And again, the Cavs sitting at home watching it all play out in front of them.
Only
3 games in on that Toronto series.
Put your feet up.
Heat series.
Game 4 tonight.
They got a while.
Put your feet up.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1. AM 1370 WGCL. Getting quick programming. We got Reds baseball coming up here right after the show. Pittsburgh in town. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, all 3 nights. So don't go anywhere for Reds baseball. Speaking of baseball, the Indiana baseball team, of course, has been a whole different entity the last several years and is now just taking the lead once again in the Big Ten over Minnesota after taking 2 or 3 up at Minnesota. And Glass, the sign of a program, no matter who's coaching or anything like that, is to consistently be successful, consistently bring up young players, consistently win and put your name up at the top of the standings. And, you know, Indiana had a year here or a year there a long time ago, but not a lot of good ones in between. This program's kind of rolling right now.
It is, and good players do that. Good players in big spots do that as well. So the guys that have come through and followed the Schwarbers, Travises, Dustin DeMuth, Halsteads, Joey Donatos, all those positions, it's been really good for Indiana. They're a little bit of a ham and egg team. It's not the power days of Travis and Schwarber where you get you bailed out, a couple 3-run homers here and there. Got to pitch well, and they do that. Minnesota was the best hitting team in the Big Ten. The Hoosiers out-hit them this weekend on their home field, so it shows you they can rise to that challenge as well. Kyle Hart won again on Friday. That's his 10th win. He's in the top 10 in the country in wins this year. And the Hoosiers, again, found a way to do it on the road. And the other thing that Indiana's been doing recently is beating teams they need to beat.
Yeah.
You have to sweep Purdue at home because they're terrible. You have to sweep Northwestern at home because they're bad. And that's exactly what they did. It doesn't matter if you beat them by 1 run or 10 runs. You just have to keep winning. And that's what the Hoosiers have done. Tomorrow night's game, 5:05. Notice a start time change at Bart Kauffman Field. They welcome the Kentucky Wildcats to town. This is the last home week of the season. Illinois will be the opponent on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Then the Hoosiers are off to Louisville next Tuesday, followed by a trip to Lincoln, and then they go right back for the Big Ten tournament to Omaha. So, not right back, but the same state. So the Hoosiers have a great opportunity, Dave. Their RPI is right around 100, which isn't very good when you only put so many teams in the baseball tournament. So how do you fix that problem? Well, you win the Big Ten tournament. And do they have enough pitching? Do they have enough timely hitting? They have throughout the season. They have recently. And we'll see if they can hold it together. But there's no doubt going up on the road into a hostile environment, a team that's playing for first place to remain in first place on their home field and taking 2 out of 3. Great job by Chris Lemonis' crew on that.
No, they're doing a great job, as you said. A little bit different than maybe
the
College World Series heyday back in the day.
If you've got speed, if you got guys that get on base, if you can move them over, and you got a couple, there's a couple big bats in that lineup. Logan Sauer's going to hit the ball out of the park. He's shown that more than Scotty Bradley at first base. He can swing it as well, and you got a bunch of guys that can hit doubles and run. Never a problem with speed.
Colts held their mini camp over the weekend for rookies, brought in a number of undrafted free agents. Just have to see, I suppose, with these guys. But the good news, 6 of their 8 draft picks have been signed. TJ Green and LaRaven Clark still on the docket there, but they did get Ryan Kelly in, and everybody seems to be impressed with this kid.
You notice where they put his locker.
Yep, right next to Andrew Luck.
That's exactly where it should be, as those two need to get to know each other quickly.
Get to know each other very well and become on the same page quickly and hope it's a long, long, long marriage there. But again, very excited I am to see that finally be solidified. That's the one thing about the Grigson Pagano era, that you can point to one position in particular. It's been just a revolving door at center, and a lot of things that just haven't worked anywhere near what you would hope. This guy seems to be the real deal. And again, playing in a pro offense down in Alabama, playing with the expectations you have at Alabama and against the talent that you play with or play against in practice, not to mention the SEC, and then again in the playoffs. This guy's seen it all. I mean, coming to the NFL is always going to be a little bit of a step up, no question, but he's going to have the smallest step of anybody on that roster.
Yep, I think so, and he's going to get it too because they run complicated stuff there. Mm-hmm. It's not we're going to just run over you and bowl downhill. They obviously have quarterbacks who are very capable. They have skill players at every position on offense, which means an open playbook, which means everything gets run from trick plays to just drop back passes, nice and boring. But the competition of the SEC defense is the part I enjoy with that, because it's not going to be some kind of wake-up call where
he's
going to
worry about getting defensive banged. Lines in the SEC
they're all playing on
phenomenal.
Sunday,
it's amazing.
Interestingly enough. So that's why it's happy. You hope the relationship is good. I don't see why it wouldn't be. The Colts had to do their homework. We've talked about this before. You don't go get a center in the first round unless he's the best center in the draft and by far the best one you've probably seen in some years, Dave, because the number one pick in the NFL has to do one thing. And that is play immediately.
Yeah.
There's no room unless you are unbelievably deep and talented, and not many NFL teams are, where a guy can sit in and bed in and take his time to get on the field. That just doesn't happen. Not in today's NFL, not with the way the salaries are structured, not with the way the guys get cut and moved around. You got to play from day one if you're number one pick.
We're going to have to close on a sad note tonight as local friend of ours and friend of many around the area, Robert Hebenstreet, Hebe, known to everyone, passed away this weekend, and it is with heavy hearts that we mention this. And one of the greatest guys you would have ever meeten.
Absolutely right. Worked at Nick's, Yogi's, owned the Peanut
Barrel
for a while,
a long time ago.
City Grill back in the day, recently the Upstairs Pub.
Poured many a pints for everybody in town, and was your best friend for a little while. And he meant it. He was a great one, and we're going to miss him. I know that. Folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Wednesday, so tune in then. Joe Smith Sports Talk tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, and stay tuned. Reds baseball coming up here in just a couple minutes with Pittsburgh in town. We will talk to you Wednesday. You've been in the zone.